Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, and today I've got a huge announcement. So as you know, I've been hitting for a little while about doing something big that I haven't done in ages, and that's to have a live meetup with all of you, and it's a go. We're making it happen. I'll be speaking at the first live event I've done in like 2 years, and you're invited to an exclusive meet and greet and special live Q&A at, you ready for it? The Texit Conference in Waco, Texas. So mark your calendars. It's November 9th to 12th. I'll be speaking there and shining light on this very important event, as well as meeting tons of Turley Talkers out there. So make sure to click on the link below. Join me and thousands of patriots who are defending faith, family, and freedom through this amazing national sovereignty movement. Now, it doesn't matter where you live, right? You're not going to want to miss this. We don't know what's going to happen in 2024, and Texit may indeed be the arc that we're all desperately hoping for at that time. So click in the link in the description below to get your tickets. And if you use the code TURLEY20 at checkout, you're going to get an awesome discount. So it's a huge deal. Can't wait to get out there and meet you all. It's been far too long. Now, to share more about this amazing event, I'm joined today by one of my personal heroes making a return visit to our channel, and that's the one and only Daniel Miller, president of the Texas Nationalist Movement. You've seen Daniel on Fox. You've seen him on CNN, on CNBC, on BBC. I mean, the list goes on and on. And that's because Daniel has for decades now worked tirelessly to free Texans from an overbearing and now incessantly woke leftist federal bureaucracy in D.C. And in the process, he's turned the Texas Nationalist Movement into the single foremost secessionist movement in the entire United States. So, Daniel, welcome back, my friend. Great to see you again.
Thanks, Doc. That was a heap of praise. Let's not make this awkward.
That's right. Well, when we first were chatting with each other before the interview, I called you sir, Sir Daniel Mills. So it's just on the same level. It's an honorary one.
I'll take it. Look, I'm going to call you Doc because that's what I do. I mean, the moment you add a DR in front of your name, you're immediately Doc.
So. That's that. That's what's up, Doc. That's right. So give everybody, I mean, I'm so excited about this, Daniel. I got to tell you, when I saw Texicom, I'm like, I got to be there. These are our peeps. So give everyone an overview of Texicom. What are some of the things that we're going to be learning and experiencing at this amazing conference?
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, just a little bit of backstory. So, you know, several years ago, we had done some smaller conferences, along the line of Texas Independence, you know, really focused on our mission. And they were run more like, one day or 2 day long TED Talk events, right? We'd bring in subject matter experts to talk about whatever. But there had been an increasing clamor from Texas supporters that wanted something larger. They wanted more people. They wanted more discussion topics. They wanted more experts. And so the team set off about a year ago and said, look, we're gonna do this. We're going to put together this conference, and it's going to be the end-all be-all on the issues of independence and self-determination. And, you know, let's be honest, Doc. Part of the challenge that we have had, people that are proponents of a fundamental reexamination of state sovereignty and you know, the federal system, there has not been a gathering of folks like us, a major one. You know, there were a couple, like over a decade ago, a couple of North American conferences, but they were very small affairs. And so this one is slated to be the largest gathering of, you know, pro-independence, pro-sovereignty, advocates, proponents, questioners. You know, we're taking inquirers too. There's no litmus test on the ticket sales. But we're going to have subject matter experts from, you know, folks like yourself to Dr. Matt Quartrup is going to be there. He is the world's foremost expert on independence referendums. We've got elected officials, former elected officials, grassroots organization leaders here in Texas. And we're going to be talking about the political, economic, cultural aspects of Texas. We're going to be talking about self-determination in a much larger context as well. We're going to talk about some of the nuance in relation to politics here in Texas and the federal government. And we're going to have a track specifically for people who say, you know what? I get it. I don't need any more. I don't need any more stones in my foundation. What I want to know is how I can go be effective. And so we've got an entire track for activism training.
That's amazing. I have a good friend. We were just talking beforehand. I live in Delaware and I have a good friend just across the border in Cecil County, Maryland, who just moved down to you guys in Waco, Texas, where the conference is going to be. One of the first things he did is he joined the border militia and joined up with Texas Nationalist Movement. Very like we're talking. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's a left UG who came into Texas and said, hey, man, I got a lot of time to make up here. I'm going to dive all in. For me, when I was looking, when I go to the website, and again, you just click on the link below and you can get your tickets, check out the website, all this great stuff. Just the networking alone, you know, just with like-minded patriots. I mean, for me, that's what makes this so priceless. You know, the conversations, the meals, the clicking the glasses with hundreds and hundreds of fellow patriots dedicated to faith, family, and freedom. I mean, to me, that's what's really, it's all about developing new friendships. So I do it every conference. It happens every time. That lasts forever. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Well, you know, Doc, this has been sort of a key focus for us as an organization. And I think it's really attributed to our growth. I mean, you got to remember, we started out with 6 people and polling support in single digits back in 2005. And it was an explicit recognition that the tool of the opposition is to make each of us feel like we're alone. And, you know, Gene Sharp, and I don't know if you're familiar with Gene Sharp's work, probably so. Gene Sharp wrote that book called From Dictatorship to Democracy that's been translated into every language and has toppled totalitarian dictators just with that information in that book around the world, right? And one of the things that Sharp talked about is this concept called atomization. And atomization is, he terms it as a tool used by totalitarian regimes or systems to essentially isolate everyone as an individual. If you can prevent them from connecting with one another, you can effectively strangle the baby in the cradle, that baby being opposition to your totalitarianism. And so one of the biggest things that has been, I think, sort of a tip of the spear for us since our founding was to overcome that atomization. At the moment that you start getting people standing up and being unafraid, unashamed, right? And they stand up and say, this is what I believe, and I don't care if the rest of the world believes like I do or not, this is what I believe. Well, that emboldens other people to do that same thing. And so you take something like the Texas Conference, and what it effectively does, the networking, you know, aside from all the wonderful information and speakers and everything else, the true opportunity here is for us to connect with one another so that people don't feel like they're alone. Right. I mean, you got to remember, right now, mainstream media and the progressives tell everyone that this is a marginal idea, that states becoming self-governing independent nations is fringe and marginal, okay? They try to marginalize it as much as they can. But what they don't tell you is, they don't tell you that over the last 70 to 80 years, there have been about 140 brand new self-governing independent nations formed on this earth, right? They don't tell you that in summer of 2022, Survey USA, right, ranked the number one most accurate polling company by 538, right? The most accurate released a poll that showed that 60% of Texas voters and 66% of likely voters would vote Texas out of the union if given that opportunity today. They don't tell you that the Republican Party of Texas, the most dominant political party here, they hold every statewide office, they have majorities in both House and Senate, have 2 planks on their platform calling for a vote on Texas.
That's right.
And so, you know, the Texas Conference is our way, our opportunity to marry the expert opinions, the discussions, and everything else with that key thing that you were just talking about, which is, look, let's get together and let's just celebrate believing in freedom and self-determination.
Yep, absolutely. And there's nothing like it. It's so sweet, so beautiful. I know a big concern for a lot of people, I hear this a lot, and you and I were talking about that before we went on air, is and people both inside and outside Texas, is the concern is the prospect of Texas becoming a purple state, thanks to the rapid demographic changes occurring due to the wide open southern border in particular, but also the concern about refugees, you know, coming from California and the like. Kudos to Governor Abbott. I know there's plenty to bellyache about the guy, but, you know, busing migrants by the tens of thousands to New York City and Chicago, I mean, was just a brilliant move, especially in terms of how it created this rift inside the Democratic Party. But that said, what do you see in terms of the prospects of Texas turning purple? And are Democrats already using, you know, these their characteristic fraudulent tactics to try to hasten that possibility?
Yeah, look, I think Texas internally has some issues, right? I think we've got some political issues, but I would say this. I would say that the Texas voters haven't spoken yet, right? Mm. If you look at voter turnout here in Texas, particularly during the primaries, but even during the general election, it's pretty abysmal. And the reason that it's abysmal is that the people feel disconnected from their government. I mean, take the partisan discussion out of it, right? Republican versus Democrat.
Right.
The vast majority of Texas voters are looking at that system and they're saying there's not a dime's worth of difference, right?
Right.
When you've got, you know, the current controversy down here right now with the border issues and Greg Abbott's ineffectiveness at the border, yeah. Or you have the impeachment saga with the Texas Attorney General that was spearheaded by people that are Republicans.
Yeah.
And Paxton was, he was a staunch defender of Texas against the Biden administration.
Yeah, amen.
So, you know, the vast majority of voters are looking at this and going, look, I'm not seeing anything here that's a dime's worth of difference between the two in efficacy,
right.
You know? So what Texas does for us, and I think this is the important thing to understand, you know, I mentioned Dr. Quartrip a moment ago, and one of the things about having an academic like him consulting for us is we get access to all kinds of phenomenal academic data.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he has ascertained is that the average voter turnout for independence referendums is 85%. Now, which means that you take every other hot button issue. I mean, anything, no matter what side you're on, you take any other hot button issue and understand they don't drive voter turnout
right. Like
putting independence on the ballot. So, you know, you put 85% voter turnout in the Texas elections, and then the there won't be a conversation about whether Texas is red, blue, or purple. The only thing people will be talking about is that Texas is going to be independent.
Independent. Wow. That's amazing. And again, yeah, I remember reading a stat, 2 million voters in Brexit in 2016 voted for the first time in that referendum. It just drew out voters overwhelmingly. And of course, those who wanted to remain with the EU were just overwhelmed in those numbers.
Oh, that was the sneak heat. You know, those are the voters that can't be accounted for by the overpriced political consultants. They don't factor in because at the end of the day, the policies and the governance have driven those people into neutral.
Yeah.
Independence lets them put it in gear and put the pedal to the metal. And that's what they do. I mean, they stay engaged in that process all the way through. So, you know, as I said, not to be repetitive, but I don't think the Texas voters have spoken yet.
Yeah. And again, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we're seeing it. We saw that the Brexit in 2016, and then the next national election that they had was just a few years later in December of 2019. When Boris Johnson was pushing himself as the Brexit prime minister, and the Tories won in the biggest landslide in 100 years. I mean, you had districts who had never voted for the Tories before, very blue collar districts, suddenly switch over and vote, just like what we saw with Trump in Wisconsin and Iowa and Michigan and Pennsylvania. So you're right. I mean, it's a political paradigm shift that these overpriced consultants just have no idea of whatsoever. You know, Daniel, I mean, I know a lot of people are going to be commenting down below and they're going to say, look, you can't let Texas lead the union. If Texas leaves, we'll never have another Republican win national office again. You're our only hope. And what's so interesting to me with that is that, you know, the more we think about it, though, even if that were the case, interestingly, an independent Texas would actually be very beneficial to Patriots in the larger 49, as it were, because I think one of the first things that would end, of course, would be illegal immigration, wouldn't it? I mean, you would see that come to a virtual halt with an independent Texas. Am I tracking rightly with that?
Yeah, I mean, look, it changes the scope. The two things I encourage people to do. Look, if you're concerned about Texas withdrawing from the union, understand that it's already happening, right? That process is already underway. But here are your two options: move or plant your flag in your state and start doing what we're doing in your state. Because this idea that other states can't do this is a fallacy. I mean, you pull out virtually any state in the union and you begin to compare them with other self-governing independent nations around the world, and virtually across all measures, they stack up quite well and probably could stack up quite well. There is a myth that a state has to be self-sufficient to be independent, and that's a lie. It's not. They just have to be viable, and the viability comes from the desire of the people to govern themselves and stand as a peer on the world stage. That's where it comes from. It's a self-confidence issue. The rest follows from that. And I know people may say that seems very, you know, psychobabble, Pollyanna, but unfortunately for those folks that would say that, this is what the world's trends have shown us, is right, that it's about viability and a people's willingness to stand up for something. So for anyone that would be concerned about that, understand that Texas has got to make the decision that's best for Texas, but that decision plays well for everyone.
Right.
Because even if someone were concerned about that, if Texas stayed, we know the trajectory the federal government's on. We know what the end game looks like. If you wanted to leave at that point, where would you go?
Right.
I mean, are you going to go plant your flag in Antarctica? Because it's not like you got a lot of options left. So Texas becomes a beacon and an example of what independence looks like and could inspire others. Maybe the conversation and Texas voting to withdraw, maybe that shocks the federal system into perhaps some reforms that devolve power back to the states. But, you know, ultimately, we've got to do what is best for the people of Texas and let everyone else enjoy the spillover effect.
I love how you put that, because this is something I've dedicated a lot of my channel to. This is not AstroTurf. This is very organic. This re-territorialization, this relocalization of politics. It's happened. You and I talked about this last time, and I know you have a lot of international connections. This is going on all over the world. I mean, heck, what's going on in Ukraine right now is largely because of a breakaway Donbass region of two republics there. I mean, this is going on everywhere. So I think people can be a little naive thinking, oh, well, I could just talk you out of this. You guys can't leave. We could just, let's sit down, let's have a conversation, and let me just bring you to your senses. I was going to say the cat's out of the bag, but give me a better Texas version of these.
The horse is out of the barn.
Yeah, all right. That'd be much better than my cat out of the bag. Yeah, the horse is out of the barn. I mean, this is something that's happening. Well, like you said, I mean, just in the last 30 to 70 years, I mean, the world map has gotten more and more states, more and more nations, not less and less. Decentralization is the trend. So tell people who may be skeptical of independence, just give them a quick like rundown on how secession is legal. It is possible and certainly would benefit Texans.
Sure. And look, it's the constitutional case for states withdrawing from the union is quite simple. Number one, Article 1, Section 10 lists everything states are forbidden from doing, and it's not in there. Withdrawing from the union is not included in that list. Therefore, you go to the 10th Amendment, and it says that any powers not granted to the federal government or prohibited to the states are reserved to the states and the people. So what that means is we have to take a look at the Texas Constitution, and the Texas Constitution is clear. Article 1, Section 1 starts with the words, Texas is a free and independent state, says it's subject only to the United States Constitution, and it says that the maintenance of our free institutions and the perpetuity of the Union depend on the right of local self-government unimpaired to all the states. So Article 1, Section 1, a post-Civil War constitution, essentially sets a trigger mechanism for this to happen, which is the right of local self-government becoming impaired. Then you go to Article 1, Section 2, and it reserves as an inalienable right to the people the right to alter, reform, or abolish our government in such manner as we may think expedient. So it's a reserved right. It's inalienable. And, you know, you have to look at it from the standpoint that if it is explicitly inalienable, then it's on the same par as the right to keep and bear arms, the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, any of those things that people would think of as inalienable rights. Now, some people may counter and say, okay, that's fine, but what about that Supreme Court case of Texas versus White? And I got to tell you, Doc, one of my favorite things that I have done, that I do, is destroy Texas versus White. I love doing it. I'm not going to eat up all your time by doing that, but what I will say is
I can see simply, the mouth frothing over it.
Hey, don't threaten me with a good time, right? but, you know, Texas versus White is a Supreme Court case. For most of the people that invoke it, number one, they've never read it, right? They've never read any of the context of the case. They've never read the decision. They never read Greer's dissent. But second, it doesn't say what people think it says. It's internally inconsistent. So you take Chase's decision in Texas versus White. He says that, oh, it's an indissoluble union comprised of indestructible states. Okay, well, that's fine. So they say that means that you can never leave the union, except for the fact that Chase goes in and contradicts himself and says, oh, but states can withdraw from the union with consent of the other states or revolution. But none of that matters because that's dicta. It's internally inconsistent. And one of the key things that he bases his decision on is this belief that somehow the United States Constitution is an amending instrument to the Articles of Confederation via the preamble to the Constitution. He says that in the preamble, when it says to form a more perfect union, that it essentially ties back to the Articles of Confederation, which refer to the Articles is a perpetual union, which we know is a lie because states had to withdraw from that union in the Articles to ratify the U.S. Constitution to form a more perfect union, right? So if that's the case, Chase's entire decision is based upon this belief in the preamble because that's the only constitutional language they use is justified. Well, fast forward the clock to the early 20th century to a Supreme Court case called Jacobson v. Massachusetts. Has nothing to do with secession, has nothing to do with the Civil War, but what it has to do with is the state's ability to force vaccinations on people, which is odd. But the big conclusion of the court, and this is the important part, the big conclusion of the court is the federal government can derive no power from the preamble that is not explicitly mentioned in the Constitution itself. So effectively, Jacobson v. Massachusetts overturns Texas v. White. And then, you know, there's other things, but the bottom line is it's legal, it's constitutional, right. It's moral, it's right. And, you know, anyone who would say contrary is essentially saying that government is greater than God. And, don't sign me up. I'm not going to that summer camp.
That's right. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's just the definition of tyranny at that point. What are the prospects? So you mentioned that that a vote on a referendum did make its way into the Texas Republican platform. Right. They've called for that. What are the I know you've had some bills put on the floor here or there. What are the prospects, say in the next 5 years, of the possibility of a referendum happening?
Look, I think it's high. I mean, you know, you have to get down to making some determinations versus some preliminary advisory referendums versus the final binding one like the Brexit vote. Although Dr. Quartrip would argue that even the Brexit vote was advisory in nature, but that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we had last two sessions, even though they said it would never happen, we've had the Texas Independence Referendum Act filed twice. And you got to understand here in Texas, that's kind of a big deal. You know, we're on an every 2-year cycle. Our legislature only meets for 140 days every other year, right?
Yeah.
So just getting bills filed a lot of times is the hurdle. So there have been some shifts in the political grounds here. Right now, we're running a petition campaign that if we cross the finish line on it by December 1st, by law, the Republican Party will be forced to put it, the question, on the primary ballot in an advisory, you know, capacity only, right? They ask about 10 or 11 resolutions every cycle. This would be one of them. And the effect that that would have can't be really measured. And it goes back to what I said a moment ago about average voter turnout when the independence question is asked. You know, we might not get 85% voter turnout in a party primary, but if we doubled turnout with pro-Texas voters, it gives us the opportunity to run the table from the state house to the schoolhouse and put pro-Texas candidates in elected positions. So we're running a multifaceted strategy, but if you're asking what this prospect looks like for the next 5 years, I'm not a prophet. I'm not Miss Cleo. I can't read your cards. But what I can say is this: ultimately, how long this takes is going to depend 100% on the desire of the people to help make it happen and make the political changes necessary to smooth the path.
Yeah. Politicians are just going to, they're always going to go with status quo. That's just where their power and their affluence comes from and the like. And it was fascinating watching that little civil war play out with Paxton and the Bush Rove wing of the party. It's just, talk about crazy. So I can only imagine what you guys are always dealing with those dynamics there.
Look, it's this is what we tell all of our folks. And I think it's good, savvy political advice for anyone, no matter whether you live in Texas or anywhere else. If your politicians are wind socks, you need to be the wind.
The stronger
the wind blows, the more you can determine the direction of that wind sock. And that's just the bottom line. Too many people get elected office and they turn into windsocks. And so you, as the people, Article 1, Section 2, the very first words of it that I mentioned a moment ago, but the very first words say that all political power is inherent in the people. And so every movement to move these electeds must at its heart be a people movement.
Wow. Couldn't have said it. I mean, you just summed up the people versus the political class perfectly. Just the new dialectic that's just forming all over the world. Gang, you heard it. Come see Daniel and me in Waco, November 9th to 12th. It's going to be so awesome. I can't wait. I'll be hosting a special meet and greet for my courageous Patriot insiders and to be able to network with Patriots from all over the state, indeed all the nation. You may even see some from all over the world. So don't wait. Click on the link in the description below. Use code TURLEY20. To get your tickets with an awesome discount and do it now. Don't want to wait. So Daniel, awesome seeing you again. Thank you enough for having me come on out here. It's you guys are amazing and all the best. And we'll have to have you back here real soon.
Sounds great, Doc. I'll keep the coffee hot for you.
Awesome. Can't wait. And ribeyes. I want ribeyes.
Oh, look, you know that goes without saying, right?
That goes without saying. It's right. Absolutely. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Doc.